We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our part one episode of the quarterbacks of the Senior Bowls. We're going to break down the quarterbacks of the Senior Bowl in this two-part episode, all on episode 225 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 225 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm and Pierre. How you boys doing today?
I am doing great, Tyler. The weather's not that bad this winter. It's been pretty nice out. Can't complain, man. I know Malcolm's living the life in that 70-degree weather, sunny, by the beach every day.
He was just telling us how it's pouring right now.
Woo! What is going on? Yo, it is bad down here. I mean, not really bad.
Define bad.
The weather is nice. I mean, yeah, it is 70 degrees, but God damn it, I was just out in the road and it is floods everywhere. It's flooded. It has been raining all day. It's like, it has been bad. As far as like the rain, it sucked. The rain sucked today. Wasn't a good day as far as the weather forecast.
I have a question for you, Malcolm. Would you rather be in like 20 to 30 degree weather?
I'd rather be in rain.
Or 70 degree weather rain?
I'd rather be in rain.
There you go.
I hate rain. I hate rain with a passion.
Rain. I mean, it does suck. I mean, especially when you're
out
on the road.
You can't do anything.
Especially when you're out on the road, man. It was crazy.
That's scary driving. I'll take this 9 degree weather any day.
Tyler said it's scary driving. It's scary driving in the snow.
It wasn't snowing, though. It was 9 degrees.
Especially.
I think rain is scarier than snow to drive in, though.
Hell no.
The thing is, if your city's prepared for it, yeah, it's probably not as bad. But I'm going to give you an example. In Texas, they had a freeze a couple years ago.
I remember that.
It was bad as hell. I'm talking about nobody was ready for that shit. So they were just crashing it. Like, highways, it was just like crash after crash after crash after crash. Nobody was ready for it.
And so, they didn't even really get snow like that. Like an inch of snow. That wasn't even like snow.
They were calling it a freeze, man.
You know,
I do insurance. So it's like, they were like, oh, my pipe burst from the snow. I was like, here's a claim, you know, file your claim. But yeah, it's tough. It was tough. They weren't expecting it.
I'm talking more like the heavy rain. I hate the heavy rain, dude. Like when you're driving, especially if it's on the highway. I mean, that's scary, dude.
That was me today.
Yeah. Like the snow, it's like, I mean, everyone's driving slow. I mean, same with the rain, but you can't see anything in the rain. At least in the snow, you could kind of see what's going happening. And it's, you're going to be slipping and stuff, but you could kind of control a little bit.
Man, that's when your driver instincts come in, man. You just got to know, look at the lines and just drive.
Yeah, see, with the snow, yeah, I mean, with the rain, there's nothing. I don't know, but that's a different discussion on a different day. Yeah. For today's episode, we're going to talk about the quarterback, specifically going to be participating at the Senior Bowl. and maybe some guys that could be on the Lions radar for this upcoming 2022 NFL draft. Maybe some guys we like, maybe some guys we don't really like that much. Do we want the Lions to take a quarterback? We're going to kind of address all of that in this episode. And then we'll probably do another episode a week after or the week of the Senior Bowl to see a little more of these guys and have more evaluation on these guys. So this is before the Senior Bowl. Our evaluations on the quarterback is going to be at the Senior Bowl. So all the juniors entering the draft, guys like Matt Corral, we will not be covering in this episode. We're going to only be covering the seniors. So with that being said, let's get on to the Lions side, which Pierre actually told me that this was handpicked by the Lions staff. They picked these three specific quarterbacks that they want to work specifically with. They're going to get a look at all six of the quarterbacks going to be there, but they get more of an evaluation, more time practicing with these three
quarterbacks. Well, Tyler, to answer that, though, like, they didn't necessarily pick these. They had, like, two rosters. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the rosters posted on Twitter, but Brett Holmes had a first choice. It was this roster or that roster, and he chose this roster. I don't know if it's because of the QBs or a different position, but if I had to guess, man, these QBs, they all had something to prove. The ones on the Lions side, we'll get into that.
Yep. And, you know, I if you look at the trend right now with the Lions side, they got a lot of guys from the West Coast, a lot of Pac-12 players. And, you know, that's something that Brad Holmes likes a lot. He likes those West Coast players. So maybe to keep an eye out for in this upcoming draft, look out for those West Coast players. All right, let's start off with the quarterbacks the Lions will be specifically working with at the Senior Bowl. So you got Sam Howell from North Carolina, you got Malik Willis from Liberty, and you got Bailey Zapp from Western Kentucky. And on the other side, working with the Robert Saleh Jet staff, you got Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, you got Carson Strong from Nevada, and you got Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh. So let's talk about the Lions side first. I want to start off with Sam Howell, because Sam Howell, before the college football season, was, you know, I wouldn't say the consensus, but a lot of people thought this guy could be the first quarterback taken off the board. And if you look at the super early mock drafts, Sam Howell was one of those guys that was projected to be a Detroit Lion. Now, things have changed a lot since then, because Sam Howell didn't really live up to the expectations that I think the media and the fans really expected. And now he's in a position to probably be maybe that first round range, maybe even that early day two. It could really go any way for Sam Howell. It's going to be interesting. But I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. You seem like a Sam Howell type of guy. You've talked a lot about him. You raved about him on Twitter. I saw your tweet saying he is QB1. Tell me about Sam Howell.
Well, I want to start with this. The reason why he struggled, he lost four NFL guys. Javonte Williams with the Broncos, Dyami Brown, I believe he's with Washington, Daz Newsome, and the other back.
Michael Carter.
Michael Carter, I believe he's with the Jets. Yep. So he lost NFL talent. When you lose NFL talent, that's hard to replace. And no one really stepped up. None of the receivers really stepped up for North Carolina. There's a guy named Josh Downs. He's like okay, but no one really took that number one role that they had. So everything was kind of put on his shoulders. And you saw he was making more mistakes because he was trying to do more to make his team win. One thing, though, with him this year is he improved on his mobility. He was actually a good runner this year. He broke some tackles, too. But the thing is, like, this is when I say QB1, I don't mean like number one pick. This quarterback class is like there's no top guy to me. It's like it's kind of pick whoever you like and roll with it. Like if someone came up to me and said right now, Kenny Pickett is my number one QB. I mean, it's hard to argue with that, right? Or if someone told you Malik Willis is their number one QB, it's hard to argue with that because all these guys have something to prove. None of them are perfect. There's no Trevor Lawrence. There's no Trey Lance. There's no Zach Wilson. There's no Joe Burrow. There's none of these guys. These guys all have something to prove.
There's no Mac Jones.
Who?
Yeah, we actually have a couple. We actually have a couple Mac Jones.
I think there is a Mac Jones. I think there actually is a Mac Jones.
It'd be interesting if, not to get too off topic, if Mac Jones was in this draft to see what quarterback he would be ranked. I don't know what he'd be ranked. I wonder if some teams would maybe prefer some of these other guys still.
I think he'd be QB1.
He might be. It might be. But to go on your point with Sam Howell, so I want to get into this discussion. I'm on a boat, and I'm on a team, I think with a lot of Lions fans, but not all Lions fans, but with a good amount of Lions fans. I'm on the boat where I'm like, I don't want a quarterback at all in this draft. No point of this draft I want a quarterback unless it's like day three. Maybe Dan Campbell's working with a guy and he's like, okay, you know, maybe we see something in this guy. He could be a high-end backup. He's a guy we could count on for a couple games and we'll spend a fourth, fifth round pick on him. That's fine to me. I'm talking more about that first round, second round, and even third round range. I'm just not necessarily a fan of taking quarterbacks outside of the top 15, 20 range. Even 20 is getting a little rich, but I just don't think quarterbacks necessarily work out after that range. I mean, how many quarterbacks could you name worked after that? And I know everyone's going to say Tom, sixth round pick, Russell Wilson, he's a fourth round pick. Like it's been proven it could work, but the track record is definitely very low compared to the good ones. Has there been good ones? Obviously there's been good ones, but not to the same rate of how many bad ones have been outside that range. So if the Lions are going to go and get a quarterback this year, which I don't see happening, but if they're going to go out and get a quarterback this year, they better be damn confident in that quarterback. And I don't think they should be waiting around till that Rams pick, wherever that's going to be, because we don't know where that Rams pick's going to be right now because they're still in the playoffs. I don't think they should be waiting until that Rams pick to make that pick on a quarterback. I think if you're that confident in a quarterback in the Senior Bowl or in this draft in general, go up and go get him. If you really like a quarterback, go up and go get him. Go trade up with the team in the teens. Go up and go get that quarterback and show that you're confident in this guy to be your franchise quarterback. Because if you wait till, let's say, 29, 30 to take whoever, Sam Howell, Malik Willis, whoever it may be, it just doesn't show me the confidence that you have that this guy could lead your franchise. It just seems like a waste to me at that point.
Yeah, I'm on board with you on this one, 100% on board with you. I don't believe you can draft a quarterback that late and you can just say, honestly say, that was a guy I loved. That was a guy who I wanted all along. Like, that was my guy. Usually when you draft a quarterback that late, it's because you're either following your board and that person just fell to you, you know? I don't think it's like, oh, like this is the guy that's gonna lead our franchise. This is the guy. Like when they drafted, you look at Seattle, when they drafted Russell Wilson in the fourth round, they had no expectation that he was gonna lead their franchise. They drafted him in the fourth round to be, you know, to see what they could get from him. He wasn't gonna be the franchise changing quarterback. He just had a hell of a preseason and they couldn't bench him. So yeah, he ended up being Russell Wilson. But yeah, he wasn't a guy they loved because they loved him, they would have moved up in the first round and got him. I mean, that's how it is. Now, as far as Sam Howell, I still like him. And, you know, Pierre was actually brought up, you know, great points about, you know, him losing his talent to the NFL. And I'm not sure, did he bring up Dommy Brown?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so he lost his main weapon. He lost all these guys. And just like Pierre said, he improved in his mobility. So you saw the scrambling. He was able to scramble. And he makes NFL throws. So I like what I see from him. I think he has a huge upside as far as being a good quarterback. Now, I don't want to get too much into it, but I think he could probably be QB1, just like Pierre said. It all depends. I mean, like, if you look at all these guys, I mean, what Sam Howell did the prior year, went before he lost all his guys, he threw 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, threw a 68 completion percentage. So that's why all that hype happened, because, you know, he damn near threw 70% of, you know, completed 70% of his passes his sophomore year. So I think he could be QB1, honestly.
The only thing that scares me with Sam Howell is, like, when he doesn't have talent, which you're going to play more talented defenses than the ACC. Like, the ACC is one of the, you know, it's not weak, but it's probably the third best division in college football, maybe even fourth. You can make, an argument of the Pac-12 being maybe ahead of them, but whatever, right? Yeah. And it concerns me if he's having a tough time, you know, shredding up defenses without weapons, how is he going to do in the NFL? Which, yes, the weapons are going to be better than what he had at North Carolina, but the same thing comes the other way. You're going to be playing better defenses than you played in the ACC. There's no more Boston College's defenses out there. You're not playing those same defensive levels. And when I see a quarterback like that and not the biggest conferences like Alabama or in the SEC or maybe even the Big Ten, I want to see you take over your team and really step up to the next level. And I thought Sam Howell was kind of disappointed this year, and he didn't really have the year that I expected him to have this year, honestly.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tyler, I'm just going to say this, man. When I'm looking at quarterbacks in college, I'm not looking at the wide open throws. And that's what a lot of people see. Like they'll see a quarterback throw a 70-yard bomb, but the wide receiver is wide open. They're like, wow, look at that pass. I mean, he beat the corner by like 20 yards. He's wide open. You know, what I'm looking at is the NFL type throws. Can you fit the ball between a tight window? You know, if they're playing zone, can you fit the ball between the zone? Stuff like that. And Sam Howell does that. That was one of my big points on him.
Malcolm, I feel like me and you sort of stout quarterbacks similarly. Every year we have like our quarterbacks, like we like them similar. I know we were both high on Zach Wilson last year. Tyler wasn't as high on him. But the thing is with Howell, man, I want to say I disagree with you how you guys say you don't love a guy. You don't take a guy if you don't love a guy, regardless if it's in 20s or in the 30s or second round. That's still a high pick, and that's still like a first round or second round pick. If he just falls to you and you get lucky, he falls to you. If you have intel that you think he'll fall to you and you don't have to move up. Like, for example, last year, the Lions loved Levi Onwuzurike. Brad Holmes actually called to trade up. It was a little too much. And then his front office told him to calm down a little. And he fell to them, right?
Okay, so, but you're comparing a defensive lineman to a quarterback. If you're a quarterback,
I think it's the same thing, though. I'm actually being serious. If you love
a player.
So Pierre, say, look at the situation. Say they love Malik Willis.
Yeah.
All right. They
trade the house.
Say they love Malik Willis. Okay. The chance of the Malik Willis falling to anywhere between 25 to 32 is very slim because you got to look at all the QB needy teams that are ahead of Detroit. Unless they're going to use them, you know, pick up and round, you know, the second overall pick, which I'll slap everybody in the front office if they did that. But unless they did that, I mean, there's no gear. There's really, you look at a percentage, I'll say there's like a 5% chance Malik Willis will be there. Because you got to look at all the QB needy teams. There's a lot of teams that needs a quarterback.
I think there's also going to be a lot of quarterback movement in the offseason too. That's something we haven't talked about either. So
sure.
When you just look at quarterbacks, like, for example, Lamar Jackson fell to 32. Baltimore traded up from the second round and got him. So they could have that fifth-year option, right? So let's say the Lions, let's say they're at like number 5 or number 27, 28, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then they have pick, I think, 34, 35 to trade back up. What if they basically trade back up end of the first round and take a quarterback? Would you guys be mad about that? Or if they took a quarterback of that pick, then they traded up back in the first round and got another pick, got like the player they wanted originally. Would that piss you off?
What is this scenario? Hold up. You lost me at one point.
All right. Stay with the Rams pick. They take a quarterback.
Yes. No they trading up.
They just basically left two players. But then they have their next pick. Like 34, they move back up in the first round and they get that player they want, a non-quarterback. So they basically have 3 first round picks. Would that upset you?
But what quarterbacks are you expecting to be there that late?
Malcolm, this is the thing with the NFL right now. Every team is different on these quarterbacks, right? One guy I think that could be there, he's probably going to fall to the second or third due to medicals, is Carson Strong.
Yeah, maybe he's one person.
Desmond Ridder, I feel like, might fall to the second or third round. He's just not accurate, and accuracy is hard to fix. Sam Howell and Malik Willis, I have to have the most upside, but Kenny Pickett is the safest pick. So those three guys, I feel like, are automatic first-round picks, Pickett, Willis, and Howell. Two of their upside, and the other guy's kind of like your safe pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of people who I see being there that late will be, you know, Desmond Ridder, Carson Strong, you know, Bailey Zappe is going to be there.
Matt Corral, but he's not in the Senior Bowl.
So my question is to you. When you're taking a quarterback in the first round, you are expecting him to be your franchise quarterback, right or wrong?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're waiting until 28, let's say, for example, for a quarterback
Nothing wrong with that. If the guy fell to you, if you love the guy,
how do you know that's going to happen, though?
Okay, but like, bro, sometimes teams have intel about who a guy like, who the team likes, what he doesn't. Now, if the Lions also, let's say they move up, let's say they want to jump Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's at 20. Let's say 20. I'm not sure. Let's just say Pittsburgh's at 20. Let's say they take the 28th pick and maybe a second round pick, or I don't know, have the trade chart for me, third round pick, whatever, fourth round pick. I don't know. Say they move up, they take a first round pick and a pick or two, and they move up to beat Pittsburgh. Would that piss you off?
No, because that shows me confidence that they want to jump a team.
But the thing is, though, Tyler, here's the thing. What if that same player you think falls to, you don't have to trade up for him?
That's, you don't love him then. You don't love him enough.
I disagree with that. Why are you taking him if you don't love him?
Because you're not showing the confidence. You're taking a huge
risk. Again, I disagree with that.
Why? That any team could take him. He's open. He's open. Show your confidence. Show your balls. Go trade up for the guy.
No, but the thing is, I'm saying if you have intel or if you think
that another team doesn't... You don't have... GM, Kevin Colbert's going to call you. No, I'm not taking Malik Willis. I'm going to let him fall to you.
No,
what intel are you really getting?
You talk to agents. You talk to players who you meet with. There's like, there's a bunch of stuff the NFL does.
They do a mock draft.
They track guys. How many smoke screens
is thrown in those mock drafts? You had literally... Okay, you think you could have intel, but it could throw you off board any second.
But just to say, if they take a guy in the first round, doesn't mean they love him. I disagree with that. 100%. You don't take guy to just take a guy. You have to love him.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But
they could take him because he was the best player on their board at that moment.
I mean,
or a guy who you probably didn't have on your board originally because you thought you had no chance of getting him, and then he falls to you. Like, I think that's what happened with quarterback for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. The Ravens had there's no way the Ravens knew who's gonna fall to him, but he said he was there. They're like, oh shit, look, this guy's here. Let's grab him. You know, nobody picked him up. He's here. Let's pick him up. So that's what the Ravens did. Now, I think I'm with Tyler on this one. I think if you love a quarterback,
show your confidence.
Like we got to look what the 49ers did. They loved it. They loved Trey Lance. They moved up. You know, the Bears. They loved Justin Fields.
Yep.
They moved up to get him. Like when you love a quarterback, that's what you're willing to do to make sure to secure that guy, to make sure that you're gonna get that guy. Now, if you're gonna wait back, that means you have a second, third, or fourth option.
Yep.
But here's the thing, Malcolm. The Patriots loved Mac Jones, but they were leaking that they loved Justin Fields. And what did the Chicago Bears do? They actually jumped him for Fields, basically. I think Chicago jumped him.
Chicago showed their confidence, and
they did show their confidence, but
that was smart.
That's the guy who they wanted.
The Lions are going to work with, obviously, Howell, Willis, and Zappi in the Senior Bowl. They're going to be in meetings with them, the coaches. Like, they're going to enact them. They're going to see how they are in the meeting rooms and all that, how they study, everything, right?
Yeah.
So, say they love Howell and Willis, because Zappi's not a first-round pick. Say they love these two guys. They wouldn't mind either one. Say both of them are on the board in that, like, 20 range. You trade up or you let one fall to you?
I go trade up if I really love the guy.
If both of them are there in the 20s, I'll be shocked.
I'm just saying, like,
I'm just saying, if both are there,
I think they're the top three quarterbacks in this draft class. So if you have the top three quarterbacks fall to number 20, I don't know.
I just don't see it happening.
A lot of people have to draft unexpected picks. A lot. You're talking about a lot of teams, QB needing teams to draft unexpected for those two players to fall back there.
Right.
And also the Lions are in a position, in my opinion, where they don't necessarily need to take a quarterback this year. I think you could wait a year and make that decision in 2023. You can give Jared Goff the year in 2022, see how he does. You make that decision at that point after the season. Is Jared Goff my answer? And if he's not, you got still another first-round pick and your first-round pick to go into 23. You have resources if you want to go sign a quarterback. Derek Carr might be a free agent. You know, he's my guy. he might be an option. And you could always go out in the market too and always trade for a quarterback because you still have the draft capital to do that. So you have so many more options, in my opinion, in 2023 than you do right now. You could build up the team right now, in my opinion. I'd spend those picks building the team. And then I ultimately make the decision in 23 and see what I have to do after that. But if Brad Holmes sees an option where Malik Willis and Sam Howell are franchise quarterbacks and like they're can't miss guys, then you got to do it. You got to go trade up and go get that guy.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, if they love a guy, go up and get him, right? Yep. Because, I mean, that's if you think he's your guy, I've always said this, whoever it is, even if I don't think it, if they think it, it's their job.
Absolutely.
Go up and get him, whether it's Pickett, Ritter, Strong, Willis,
whoever Corral, it is. Corral, yes. Yep, I agree.
Obviously, I wouldn't agree with some of them, but it's their job. They know more than we do. So, no, but the thing is, I could also say this, Tyler, like Mahomes didn't really play his first year. Lamar Jackson didn't really play his first year. What if you take a guy, you redshirt him, have him sit a year behind Goff, and then the following, because we saw rookie quarterbacks struggle this year. I mean, yeah. We saw it was bad, right? With the rookie quarterbacks. And I still think Tyler Jones.
Huh? Oh, he struggled that in the most.
No, but overall, Mac Jones had a really good rookie. No, he did. Overall, though, like I still think highly of the top three guys. Obviously, Lance, they kind of redshirted him. I feel like the Lions, if they love one of these guys, they're going to redshirt him. Yeah, sit a year behind Goff. Maybe if you need 2 years, 2 years, right? If Goff plays well next year, he's still under contract. So you could keep him a following year and you could keep developing this guy you have. And if Goff works out and you still have this guy, you could potentially trade one of these guys down the road. Like if they're both talented, and you know what I mean? So,
or you could trade Jared or
whatever. Right. I mean, yeah, whatever. There's a million ways you could do this thing.
Yeah.
They just have to find the guy. And I don't think Jared Goff is the guy right now. I think he's just there right now. He's kind of like that bridge.
I would agree.
But they need to find that guy, whether it's this year or next year or the following year. They need to, because if they don't have that guy, they're not going to go. They might go to the playoffs, but they'll get bounced first round. Look at Jalen Hurts the first round, right? Yeah. Look at who was the other quarterback?
Damn it. Mac
Jones. I mean, Mac is decent, but like they're not those guys, right? Like they're not those, like what I mean by guys right now, look who's playing this weekend. You got Josh Allen, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Matthew Stafford, you got Tom Brady, you have Aaron Rodgers, and then you have like a wild card in Jimmy G. But Jimmy G's team is stacked all around.
Don't forget Sexy Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, my bad. So all of Cooper, these quarterbacks. Joe. I think we could all agree all these quarterbacks except one are elite quarterbacks, right? I mean, great quarterbacks. Great quarterbacks.
Top tier quarterbacks, I'll say.
Top tier quarterbacks.
My elite level quarterbacks is a very small list.
You know what I mean? You got three of them in here. I only have three guys who could carry the franchise, except maybe one of them in Jimmy G. I mean, all of these guys are franchise guys. They could carry a team on their back, whatever.
I'd make an argument for Tannehill, but sure. Yeah, I get your point. I think Tannehill's in that Jimmy G category kind of thing.
Because he needs that running game. We've seen it with him.
Yeah.
I'll say this though. I think the thing was Alex Smith and the whole Patrick Mahomes thing. I think when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, I think Alex Smith was like 37, 36. He was old.
But so, Alex Smith hasn't really done much in this league. Like he's nothing. He's like he's a solid quarterback, but he's not like a game changing quarterback who makes crazy throws and stuff like that.
He's a smart quarterback and he could win as far as like win games. I'm not sure like Super Bowl and stuff like that. But the thing with Alex Smith, he was 26 years old. I don't think they'll draft Patrick Mahomes. But the thing is, he was old and they needed a replacement. They had to look for the future. You know, he was 37 years old. That's why quarterbacks usually do that. It's kind of uncommon when they do it when you have a young quarterback. But I get it. You know, there's no for sure thing with Jared Goff. But I mean, I think Jared Goff earned his say for next year at least.
Well, he got that. He gets that regardless.
He gets that.
He's in that opportunity regardless. Like next year, like there's no, absolutely.
But the thing is, with me, I think that he deserves a chance as far as like he needs weapons, and we've seen quarterbacks look like complete doo doo when they don't have their weapons.
Right.
Tannehill, the guy from Arizona, this is a short guy, Kyler Murray. When he doesn't have his weapons, you saw how he looks. He's
short
awful.
Guy.
I'm not high on Kyler, man.
Kyler Murray looks awful. I mean, you got to look at the first 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. He was an MVP conversation.
He was.
And then he down goes Hopkins, down goes Murray. Murray looks like complete dog shit. He looks worse than Goff. He looked awful.
Yeah, terrible. He was pretty bad. Yeah.
Oh, we see this all the time. Look at Dak Prescott before he got Amari Cooper. He looked like dog shit.
I don't know about that. I've always been high on Dak.
Bro, I think their record was terrible. They traded for Amari Cooper.
They didn't have anyone though. Like, who do they have? They had like an old ass Miles Austin.
What I'm trying to say is, if you don't have weapons, you're not going to be the greatest quarterback.
Right.
Jared Goff didn't have the greatest weapons this year. He made something out of St. Brown. St. Brown blew up the end of the year. So, why don't we see Jared Goff with more weapons?
That's fair. And why not? Like I'm with you on that. But I feel like we've also seen Jared Goff with more weapons in LA. And I just don't think he's it.
I'm not comparing LA because you look at LA. What did he do his last year in LA?
Got benched.
But look at his numbers. Did he lead the league in turnovers? What did he do this year? With absolutely nobody. you look at the LA Rams weapons, look what he did this year.
What did he do this year? I mean, he threw the ball away on fourth downs multiple times.
I get that. He did a lot of dumb shit. But you look at the numbers, the turnovers were way under.
Because he didn't throw the ball for the first 13 weeks.
I get that. But, I mean, you got to look
at how are you going to throw the ball when you're just handing it off?
I'm saying he had a better year, which is crazy to say, this year than he did his last year in LA.
He had a good last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, he started off really bad. We got to remember that. Like, it was a tale of two halves, basically. Like, more than two halves.
He played one good month.
He started off really bad.
Who was at fault with that? I mean, he has some fault to it, but you got to look at it. A lot of it was not having absolutely nobody.
Correct.
His O-line was a complete mess, and the play calling was trash juice.
Correct, yeah.
No, yeah, there's no arguing that. Once Decker came back, they brung in Reynolds. Obviously, stuff opened up for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Hawk goes down, right? A lot of stuff happened, but no, credit to Goff. Like I said, he played well down the stretch, but he needs to show more of that next year.
Absolutely, but like I said, if you know he did that with just having – Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now you get TJ back. You probably add another receiver in free agency that works out. Draft. You draft a guy. Now you have an offense full of weapons. Yeah. Get Swift back. Jamal Williams back there.
You don't need running backs in this. You don't need running backs in the system.
I mean,
that's a great thing to say.
You have an offense full of weapons. Now you're looking at Jared Goff. I personally, honestly, feel like, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself like I did last year. He could probably have his best year next year if they do this right.
It's possible, but I'm not banking on it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Lions are either.
I mean, he gets opportunity. If he plays well, I'll say this. Best case scenario, Jared Goff is your guy going forward. Because then at that point, you're not trading draft capital. You're not investing more money into a free agent.
Right.
That is the best case scenario. But they're going to look at it as how far could Jared get me? Could Jared take me to the next level? Could Jared be good enough to get me to Super Bowl? He's got to answer that question this year. It's make or break for Jared Goff. There's no way around it.
If he has a roster where he has weapons and he looks bad, then yeah, it could be Jared Goff. But I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't even think he has to be bad. I think even if he's like just average and they just don't think he could elevate the team, I think they can move on still and look for another piece.
This is the thing with Goff. I was just thinking about this. He kind of like the inconsistencies remind me a little of Kirk Cousins. And I think the Vikings fans are sort of fed up with Cousins. You're going to have your ups and downs with him, but can you win a Super Bowl with him? Yes, but a lot of stuff had to be perfect around him.
Just like Jimmy G.
Yeah, so I feel like he's kind of in that tier. Kirk Cousins maybe is a little better, right? But I feel like he's kind of in that tier right now.
I agree 100%. And that's why you see teams like the Niners, they go out and they invest a lot into a guy like Trey Lance because – we saw what we could do with Jimmy G. He's okay. He could get us far, but we need everything around him. Imagine now if you pair up an elite quarterback or a really good quarterback to go with this team that we already built, your team goes from a good team to an elite team. And that's what NFL teams are going
to
do.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And that's my point with Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff can make you a good team, but I think you have that potential to be an elite team if you build this team really right.
100%. Yeah, and then they've been to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo either, and they don't want him anymore.
I mean, look at Jared.
They're pretty much done with him. After this year, they got Lance ready to go next year, and there's rumors that they're going to shop him in the offseason.
And same thing with Jared. He went to Super Bowl. Like, I think Jared has the potential to be good enough, and you put him in that tier. I agree 100%. Like, that tier, like tier four probably, tier three, where, like, they're good, but it's like you have to have everything around him. And I think that's what Jared is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? With the whole 49ers situation too, I do think his Jimmy Garoppolo's health, and I think they just lost faith in him, you know, playing all 16, 17 games.
Yeah,
that was another factor into it besides his inconsistency. But
no, that too.
I think the health was the biggest reason because he haven't been there. They use all his money on him, and how many games he played for them?
Sure, yeah, he missed a lot of time. But Tannehill, same thing. I think teams are trending towards wanting to take that next step and make their team from good to an elite. And I think that's the correct approach. That's what I would do if I was ever in office.
Yeah, that's what I would do too. If you have a guy who's okay, you stick with him. But if you could upgrade, right?
Exactly.
That's how I feel.
I mean, you got nothing to lose. If you have a perfect team and you're just missing like an elite, like if you have an elite quarterback, it masks so many flaws. Just look what Stafford did for so many years in Detroit. If we don't have Matthew Stafford, you went from – you know, not to say this was much, but like you go from like an 8-9 win team to now 2 wins, 1 win, 3 wins, whatever. You're like, you go from an average team to a below average team really quickly.
And I'll be honest. If you had Patricia right now and he didn't have Stafford, he wouldn't win no games at all.
I'll say this. If we had Patricia and we had this coaching staff, we would go 0-17 yeah. for sure. 100%.
I think 100%. So.
100%. No, yeah. 100%.
If not 0-17, maybe you get like one. You slip one game. But yeah, I get your point. Yes.
Yeah.
You're very bad.
Yeah. So the coaching staff, you know, coaching definitely does matter.
Yeah. So that was my little rant of, you know, if you love a quarterback, go up and get it. Yeah, go up and get it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the Senior Bowl, though. I want to mention that, too, because I want to mention more than just the Senior Bowl quarterbacks. I just want to mention the quarterback position in general. So I'm glad we got to that. So let's get into Malik Willis. We mentioned him a lot in this episode, but we didn't really get into the intangibles that he offers. I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. What's something you see in Malik Willis that, you know, good or bad?
So this is the good. He's mobile. He can move. He's 225 pounds. Hard to bring down. Like, he's not, like, easy. He's big. 6'1", 6'2", good size, right? Rocket arm, but makes a lot of mistakes. That's the thing with him. He reminds me, I don't want to say like Josh Allen, but like Josh Allen had some issues in college and they took a while to correct. Josh Allen's also like 6'5", too. He's a lot bigger. But he kind of gives me those Josh Allen vibes. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be Josh, just saying it's coming out. He's so raw right now and he's kind of a boomer bust. And I actually was wrong on Josh Allen. I thought he wasn't going to work out. And look at him now. I mean, he's playing this weekend. Malik Willis. So if he has a good Senior Bowl with, like, good, better talent around him, right? Like, we got to look how he looks. The accuracy is better. He's showing that arm off, and he's hitting those long, those deep throws. And that, I mean, the ball zips when he throws it. You see it. This guy has a strong arm. He's talented. But those downs, I mean, one day he'll throw like three touchdowns, the next game he'll throw three picks.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Very inconsistent.
The decision making of Malik Willis, do you think a good coach could fix him up and maybe like fix that decision making and maybe make him, you know, a really good NFL quarterback? Because you bring up all the intangibles. He has elite stuff to be like, he has the intangibles to be elite, but does the decision making scare you from, you know, maybe not reaching that level?
I believe that if he's with the right coaching staff and the right team, yes, I believe he could reach his ceiling. It might not be year one. It might not be year two, but like year three, year four, year five, when you make those jumps, you know, I feel like this kid could, because Josh Allen struggled his first 2 years.
He did.
And the Bills didn't give up on him. The third year, they went out and traded for Stephon Diggs, right? And he just went crazy. Like, he balled out.
All right, Peter, I'm going to put you on the spot. Does this staff have the intangibles to get the best out of Malik Willis?
We've seen what they've done with guys like Jerry Jacobs, AJ Parker. I mean, hell, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I feel like they do, Tyler. I feel like the staff could develop. Now, I want to see how he does in the Senior Bowl. This kid, Malik Willis, has the highest upside of any quarterback in this class. And maybe a team would take a shot at him in the top 10. I don't know, top 15, whatever. But the Lions are going to be working closely with him. They're going to be in meetings with him. Burnell is going to be obviously in a lot of memes with him. Whoever the OC is, I don't know, Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, whoever that is right now, that's someone else, whoever that is, they're going to know this kid. They're going to watch him closely. They're going to watch him every day in practice. They're going to see how he studies in the film room, see how he interacts with his teammates. Is he a good leader? Like, there's so much more than also on the field. You have to see off the field as well. How is he in the locker room? How is he with his teammates, right? So that's huge with him too.
And I got one more question for you before I kick it to Malcolm. Does the intangibles intrigue you the most out of this whole quarterback class to maybe have the highest upside going into the NFL? Like, if you get the full potential of this guy, I think he could be the best in this class. Do you agree with that?
100%. I think him and Howell could be the best out of this class. Willis has a little of a higher ceiling, but man, he needs some time. He might need to sit a year or two, just kind of get those get that development going and kind of stopping him like from throwing three touchdowns one game and three picks the next game.
All right, Malcolm, tell me how much you hate Malik Willis.
I don't hate the kid, man. That's messed up, man. He hasn't even done nothing.
Tell me how much you dislike him as a quarterback.
How much do I dislike the fact of Detroit Lions getting him? Now, let me just say this, okay? So Malik Willis, you know, I think a Detroit Lions situation will probably be the best situation for him. Like, I think if he goes to a team that needs him to start right away, Washington, Carolina, Pittsburgh Steelers, if he goes anywhere like those teams where they're like, all right, you're the best guy right now because we have absolutely nobody, you're on the field. It's not going to be good. I'm just going to say that it's going to be very similar to the quarterbacks we've seen this class. It's not going to be good. He's going to make a ton of mistakes. So I think him being benched for the first year, you know, learning the NFL will be best for him. So yeah, Detroit Lions situation probably be best. Now, this is what I don't really like as far as the Detroit Lions drafting him. Okay. So I think Malik Willis is gonna get drafted pretty high, or he's gonna go pretty high, because I think he's probably the first, second, or third rated quarterback in this draft class, depending on what he does in the Senior Bowl. He could easily, if he has a good Senior Bowl, he could easily be QB1 in this draft class. Some draft QB analysts. Yeah. Some draft analysts are putting him at QB1 right now.
If he has a great Senior Bowl, he could go in the top 10. If any of these guys have a great Senior Bowl, they could go, like, and I mean just like throwing dimes all day, not making mistakes, just like,
I'll add to my point. I think if he has a great Senior Bowl, he can move up to the top 3.
Bro, yeah, if he has a great Senior Bowl and he goes crazy, I wouldn't be mad if we took him at 2. Like, yeah. I mean by crazy, I mean just like throwing dimes all day, not turning the ball over, being accurate with the football, just like playing out of his mind.
So you're going to put one game and automatically say he's an elite prospect at that point.
And not one game. These are like practices too. I don't care about the game. The game, I think, doesn't matter as much as the practices.
Yeah. I mean, you originally said the game. That's why I brought that up.
Well, yeah, they call it the Senior Bowl. So.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying if he had a great practice, so if his practices are on point, then you don't mind.
I mean, we've seen guys in the Senior Bowl, they've jumped from like the fourth round to the second round to a top 20 pick, right? Yeah, I mean guys jump in this. We saw Josh Allen in the Senior Bowl. I believe like he wasn't rated that highly, but then the Bills took a chance on him.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why is because all these quarterbacks are really close prospect-wise. I mean, there's no elite prospect. But the point I'm trying to make is, as far as Malik Willis, he could be the second or third quarterback taken off this board. So I don't see any chance of him being where we, as far as our Rams pick. If you're going to trade up for a guy, would you trade up all that draft capital for a good prospect quarterback versus potentially waiting, you know, build your team around and then potentially moving up to draft a elite quarterback prospect? That's the thing that you want to, that I'm looking at, especially with the Detroit Lions situation, that they don't need a quarterback this year. You don't need it. If you get one, cool. But I don't think it's like a dying need. You know, we have so much other needs. We need linebackers. We need another D tackle. We need a receiver. There's just so many holes that we need for this team for you to say, let's move up to get Malik Willis. Let's throw draft capital, move up to get this good QB prospect, and that, you know, we don't know if he's going to work. I mean, you don't know if any QB is going to work out.
Well, that's anything, yeah.
Exactly, but you're doing all that for a good QB prospect when you could wait next year and do that the same thing for an elite.
I'll sum it up for you, Malcolm. If they're trading up from, they don't think he's a good prospect. They think he's an elite prospect. If you're moving up from Willis,
I don't think there's no elite QB prospect in this draft.
Well, that's how they would view it. That's how, if we, you maybe not view it as any elite, and I would agree with you, but if they are trading up for him, and if you're taking Malik Willis to the top 3 pick or a top 5 pick, or even in the first round, you're taking a quarterback. Like, the way I look at it is, you don't take a quarterback just because you need a quarterback. I don't care if
Steelers,
you take a quarterback when you love a quarterback. And I think teams sometimes fall in this trap where it's like, we need a quarterback so badly. Like the Steelers this year, they're not going to have Big Ben, and they're going to obviously need a quarterback.
I think they're going to jump the gun and draft a quarterback.
Yeah, but like, if you don't love a quarterback, don't take him. Don't fall into that trap just because you need a quarterback. I have to go draft one, even though I don't love this guy. I love this, you know, this linebacker, I love this edge rusher more, but I'm going to take a quarterback because we need one. If that's the case, go out in free agency, go sign someone for another year, and do a reevaluation next year. You shouldn't just take a quarterback because you need one. Because when you're spending that capital, that high capital on a quarterback, you better damn near love that guy, because that's a guy you're expecting to be your quarterback for at least 5 years. At least 5 years. You don't just take one, just take one.
Tyler, I think when you look at the Lions, I think the Lions front office is not, they'll just take a guy just to take him.
And I agree 100%.
And we've seen them. They're aggressive too. Like, if they love Malik Willis, maybe they don't think he's elite now, but they think he could be really elite in a year or two. Because when you draft, you're also drafting for the future. You're not drafting now, unless you're a team who's trying to win now, right?
Yeah.
When you're the Lions, you're basically still drafting towards the future, in my opinion. Like you guys said, this team cannot still be rebuilt this season. They'll be better, but like that third year is when they make that big jump, right? It's when you have more cast space, when you guys are more developed from year one and year two. In year three, you kind of add to what you need, and you kind of go and hopefully compete for the division and Super Bowl, playoffs, whatever. I feel like Brad Holmes is different, though. They know this is a rebuild. They got six-year deals, right? So they're not like going to be, oh, let's go get a quarterback right now. We need, no. If they love the guy, take him. right? But don't just take him.
Don't gotta rush it. Yeah.
If you're looking at the board and say like you have a guy who's like number 40 and you have a guy at 20, you're probably gonna take the guy at 20. That's what Holmes would do. Yeah. Now I remember even last year, Sheila Ford asked him about a receiver and he needed a receiver, but he didn't take a receiver just to take one.
Right on.
He's like, there's the kid from the USC, whatever. We think we could get him.
Yeah.
And they obviously loved him, but they didn't panic and he fell to them and they took him. Right. Yeah. So.
But that's right on the money. You could have arguably made the decision that, wide receiver was the biggest need on this team last year. And they waited till all the way to the fourth round because they didn't think anybody was worth taking at that point. In the second round, first round, third round, whenever. They didn't think it was necessary to take a receiver and they thought there were better options. So that's how you if you're doing that for receiver, you should absolutely be doing that for the most important position in football. And that's
and I think they position. Will. I think they will.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, maybe they won't even take one this year. Who knows? Like if they don't, I don't care, right? I mean, if they do, whatever. Like,
you know, with the Lions and the receiver situation last year, they knew that draft class was deep. That's why they didn't really panic as far as, you know, needing a wide receiver. I know we talked about that in the offseason, you know, last year, how deep this receiving core, you know, receiving class was. And like, we're talking about guys that if this was a different draft class, you know, those guys in the fourth, fifth round would probably be second round picks.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a factor to it as well. So
I'm just saying in general though, like you don't take a guy unless you absolutely love the guy.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this QB class is that deep, though. As deep as a wide receiver core that you can just set back and be like, oh, this guy's going to fall to us in the fourth round. Yeah. Like they did with St. Brown. You know?
I don't think like QB class are necessarily ever deep. You have your top guys, and then you have the guys you take a chance on in the mid rounds, right? So this year, I mean, there's top guys. There is no like number one option, but it's not necessarily like weak. It's just there's no top guy. Like all these guys we've mentioned, they could all be first round picks. Howell, Willis, Ritter, Pickett, and Strong. Yeah. Zappy is more like a second or third round pick, late two, early three, maybe even fourth round pick. But these guys, and even Matt Corral is probably a first round pick, depending how his ankle checks out and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting.
Like I even make the argument, like even if you're not in a Detroit Lions situation, like where you have a quarterback right now, I'm even making like an argument if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, like you don't have a quarterback on your team and you absolutely need one. I still would not rush and take one if I don't absolutely love the guy. There's always stop gaps that you could sign. You could always trade for one. I'm not taking a quarterback unless I think this guy could lead me.
Yeah.
And that's how I think the Lions should look at it.
Yeah. But a lot of these guys probably could lead a team. I mean, I want to be shocked that probably four to five of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, and whoever's taking them believes that.
Yeah, I think they could be, you know, they could be starters in the league. And who knows, maybe one guy breaks out and has a phenomenal year. You never know that.
And the team that's taking him absolutely believes that they're gonna have that guy that's going to break out. That's why you took him.
I also feel like when you look at Pittsburgh, and I forgot which podcast I was listening to, but Mike Tomlin doesn't want to wait and develop a young quarterback. He likes to win. He's never lost
a season. I'm just saying, even if whatever position you're in, you just take a guy whenever you think you love this guy and you think you could win with him.
I think the Steelers are going to try to trade for a veteran. I don't think Mike Tomlin's in a point.
I just brought up an example for a team that absolutely needs a
quarterback. No, they don't have one. When you look at other teams too, like I don't think Carolina is in position right now to develop a young quarterback. Absolutely right?
Now, when you have a guy on a hot seat right now, you need to win right now. You go out and trade for Deshaun Watson.
I don't think Washington is also. I don't think they want to develop a young quarterback right now either. I think they're ready to win now. Like you have all these teams right now, and you have some veterans that could be available. You have the draft. It's going to be really interesting, man.
All right, and that is a wrap to part one of our Senior Bowl quarterback episodes. Stay tuned for part two. That episode will be out very shortly. But again, we want to thank you all for tuning in. All of our listeners that are tuned in, go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave those reviews. And we'll be back for part two of our Senior Bowl episode. Stay tuned for that. And with that being said, I am out. Peace.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches.
He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.